Grace and peace to all who have gathered here in Christ's name. It is so good to be together. The crowd is down a little bit, which reminds me of a story. A certain self-important bishop came to preach one day in a congregation, and the crowd was half its normal size. The bishop was indignant and said to the pastor, "Didn't they know I was coming?" The pastor said, "I didn't tell him, but somehow word got out." If Sandover were able to be here today, I would identify myself as Walter Jones, a relief pitcher for the starter who is away for 4 weeks. Will, as you know, is expecting along with Katie, and he'll be gone a week for study, 2 weeks for paternity, and then a fourth week for vacation. So we... who come to substitute in his place, welcome you in that regard. It's a time for announcements, and I call your attention to the front of the bulletin, inside page. Blessing of the backpacks next week, a chance to prepare our students with a blessing and our teachers with our encouragement. So I hope you will think about coming, encouraging the student in your family to bring a backpack. And if you're able and so inclined, I hope you'll bring some folders with pockets. You see the announcement there, and number two, pencils. We help Blue Ridge Elementary School, and some of those students will not have adequate supplies unless we help them. A note there, too, that while Will is out of the office, Dick Neely and I will be covering for pastoral care needs. So don't hesitate to call me or call the office if you know of a need in the congregation. And now Alice Inslee is coming to give us a minute for mission. Alice?
So last week you received an invitation to volunteer with our children's programming, either in the nursery, teaching Sunday school, or telling the stories of the Bible during children's church.
I'm here to encourage you to accept that invitation, and I'm going to tell you why I did. I accepted the invitation because of this. This is sand from the Desert Box, which is part of our Godly Play curriculum. The Desert Box represents the many stories that took place in the desert as God's people sought God's presence. In today's story that I'm going to tell, the children will hear how the grains of sand represent the great family. Each week, our children hear a story from the Bible, and I wanted to be one of the people telling those stories. I wanted to because someone told me those stories, just right across the street in that building. I have so many memories of the people and the stories, but one sticks out. I remember Madge Davidson telling us the stories of the desert. She made a sandbox and a little mirror representing water. Miss Davidson made those stories come alive, and she passed those stories on to me. And now it's my turn to pass them on to the future of our church. So today, if one of the children asks to get out the desert box, I won't cringe at the thought of a mess, but I will smile, hoping they will remember not only the stories, but also who shared those stories with them. So I'm asking you to come share the good news with our children. Maybe you think you won't have enough time, but because of our rotating schedule, you'll only be asked to teach every 6 to 8 weeks. This time commitment is small, but the rewards are great. So join us, and I'll even show you where the desert box is.
Alice, thank you. Are there other announcements that need to be made? It is our tradition to greet each other at this point in the service by passing the peace of Christ. So I say, the peace of Christ be with you. Speak to your neighbors.
Peace, Walter.
Pam, peace. Peace. Good morning. Groupies of the balcony, yes. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Yes. Hello, John. Yes.
Good to see you, Walter.
Good to see you. Ladies of the Garden Club, good morning. Good morning. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
I'm Walter.
I'm Mary. It's a
Mary.
Pleasure to meet you.
You too. You too. Watch out for this guy. That's all I can say. He's friendly, but otherwise questionable. Let me slide that out of your way. Ah.
Please stand for the call to worship. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And let us pray. God
our Creator,
we come humbly into your sacred presence. We bow our heads to acknowledge the vast wonders of the universe. And the richness of the earth around us. We have offered us lives that our ancestors could not even imagine, with freedoms and opportunities as a shared inheritance. By faith, we see your hand in every blessing, and for your goodness, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise. Amen and amen. Lord.
may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. Holy God, with all its possibilities, your world is not yet complete as you designed. If righteousness and justice are your cornerstones, there is still much work to be done. If love and mercy are to combine as the mortar of society, then duty calls us each to be masons, shoring up and building where fear and falsehood threaten the mutual good. Forgive us when timidity or self-interest holds us back from offering our voices or our vocations in the services of Son Jesus, whose life is always calling us from ease to engagement. Grant us courage in his name. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Seated while the children come forward for our time together.
Good morning, ladies.
Look what I've got. That's a statue somebody carved. Hey, Charlie, come on. It's a statue that somebody made out of a piece of wood, and with equipment, they carved it to look like what? Who's that? A mom? Yeah. It's a mother, a special mother in this case. It's Mary. So if that's Mary the mother, who do you think that is? Jesus. Yes. So somebody carved this to remind us that at one time, Jesus was a child just like you. And he had a mother just like you do. What do mothers do for children? What does your mom do? What's the first thing in the morning your mom does for you? Makes breakfast for you. That's a perfect thing. And then after breakfast, does she remind you to brush your teeth?
Yes.
Yeah. How about what's next?
Brush your hair.
Brush hair. Okay.
Get ready.
Get ready for whatever's going to happen that day. That's right. And then you go through the day. Who drives you to the places you need to go?
Mom or Dad.
Mom or Dad. That's right. Parents teach us. How do you think Mary and Jesus traveled? That's right. It might have been donkeys or it might have been on foot. I think they walked a lot, and when they rode, it was probably on a donkey. You guys are on the ball today. You know, one reason I brought this is to remind us that we're going to have a new baby in the congregation soon. You know, Miss Katie and Mr. Will are going to have a baby. We know it's going to be a boy because now they can test to see in advance. So, what do you think we, as the larger church family, need to do when that baby comes?
Baptize.
Yeah, I think at the right time we'll definitely baptize. That's a good answer. And all along we need to be friends, don't we? One of the things that makes a difference is if we come and we have friends at church, well, that makes us feel welcome. That makes us know that there'll be somebody to play with and learn with. And in a way, when Miss Alice asked for people to be teachers, teachers are a little like parents, right? They show us right from wrong. They tell us the stories of the Bible. They help us to play, but they help us to grow, to learn more, and to understand more about life. Well, I hope you will always be appreciative to your parents, your moms, and your dads, just like Jesus was. They're the ones who prepare you someday to be adults. Let's give thanks for all the good things that God does for us. Will you fold your hands and follow along? Dear God, thank you for Jesus and Mary and families in our lives. Please be with Katie and the baby. Let the birth go easily. And let us welcome the little brother and all your children into our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we traditionally say here before the children leave, God be with you there. And they say, excellent. God be with us here.
Good job today.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 85. Listen for God's word. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin, Selah. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from the hot anger. Restore us again, O Lord, of our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and will make a path for his steps. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let me say, as one who sits in the pew every week, how glorious it is to have your music. And I especially thank you for the music at Bob Lewis's funeral, which was just divine. Our second scripture lesson is a brief one, but familiar. It comes from Luke, the 11th chapter, four verses that are the core of the Lord's Prayer. Listen to God's word. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" This is the word of the Lord. The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. "Of course I know the Lord's Prayer," he said. Two men seated at a table enjoying a libation after a long day, and one overhearing perhaps Presbyterians at the next table began to talk about religion. "I'm very religious," he says. His friend, finding that hard to believe, said, "Really? What do you ever do that's religious?" "Well," he said, "I pray the Lord's Prayer every night." His friend was skeptical. "You don't know the Lord's Prayer. As a matter of fact, I'll bet you $5 you can't say the Lord's Prayer." He reached into his billfold, and before he could put his $5 on the table, his friend had put his there. Now, and the pot is full and time to prove. "Okay," he says, "go ahead. Say the Lord's Prayer." There was a moment of silence, and then the friend began, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Whereupon his friend threw up his hands to stop him and said, "Take the money, I didn't think you'd know it." This version of the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke is different from the one we use every week. And if you look up the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Matthew, it too is different. Two different Gospels written by different people, each drawing upon the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples. And then over time, because of translation and combination, added to and altered until we have the prayer that we shall shortly study together. I invite you, if you will, to look on the back of your bulletin, for there are a few notes to which you may wish to add that will talk about this prayer, so much a part of our identity as Christians. Jesus, so the scripture says, was in a certain place. The gospel writer has a specific in mind, but he doesn't name where that is. He simply tells us that after Jesus had finished his prayers, one of the disciples says, "Teach us to pray, just like your cousin John taught his disciples." We don't know whether he was asking for a pattern for prayer or whether he wanted some particular prayer, although there is great advantage in having set words. We know that when we recite the Apostles' Creed or when we pledge allegiance to the flag, there is something about common words that unify us, that give us identity and confidence, and particularly in this case when we have asked the Son of God how we ought to pray to the Father. Jean and I were once in one of the great cathedrals in England. At a certain hour, a voice came on the public address system and invited all who were there to recite the Lord's Prayer. In that case, it was not so much the words of the prayer as it was the rhythm or the cadence. because around us people were speaking French and German, Italian, and some Eastern European languages. And no longer was it simply an architectural wonder, but it was for a brief moment a worship service. And our attention was drawn from the arches to the accents around us. You know how that would be. And the choir certainly knows that when we go to weddings and funerals and we hear the Lord's Prayer sung, again, it is the rhythm of it all building to that crescendo, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We know the meter of that song in our hearts. The Lord's Prayer was for centuries and still is in the Catholic Church known as the Our Father. We identified familiar passages by their first two names, so Hail Mary or Nunc Dimittis. The Our Father was known to us in Latin at first, and perhaps not so much in its meaning as in its repetition. It does emphasize to us that there is one God, our Father. But the word here used is pater. Elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus uses the word Abba, which is more intimate, like daddy. But here, there is more formality, and that's reinforced by the fact that in the version of the prayer we pray every week, we have maintained the words art and thy and thine, an old tradition that says something about this. It's more sacred. I tried to think of what it would be like to go to God with that formality, and the best analogy I can make is when I went to ask Ben Carmichael for his daughter's hand in marriage. We had dated in college. I was facing a Navy obligation. She had another year in school. She thought we might marry then. I was skeptical about what the impact of service would be on our marriage. We broke up. There were, so it is reported, a number of tears shed about that, and perhaps things unkindly said. After a few months, I realized the error of my ways and came slinking back. But by now, Mr. Carmichael has a somewhat negative opinion of me. And so on a certain weekend, I had to go to him and ask for his daughter's hand. I was not courageous enough on Friday night when we were together. And Saturday passed with much activity, and that was Sunday morning and church. And time is passing, and I can tell that Jean and her mother are talking about, when is he going to do it? When is he going to do it? And finally, when there was no time left, I went to him and I said, Mr. Carmichael, may I marry your daughter? And he said to me, are you sure you know what you're getting into? I think when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we should go formally. But I think in a way, God would say to us, are you sure you know what you're asking for? Let's proceed. Our Father who art in heaven. They thought of three levels. One, the atmosphere around us. Clouds and wind blowing and birds flying, and above they pictured a firmament through which the light of heaven shined down as stars and planets. And above that, in this third level, was God, enthroned, in charge, surrounded by a kingdom that was peaceful and obedient and filled with joy and light. Our Father is in that kind of heaven. Thy kingdom come. And then, as if to explain that line, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here God pictured as a king, as one with authority, and one who can be trusted to have a larger purpose and a plan for life. How are we to know the will of God? Well, we have 10 commandments to begin with, and rules that develop from those. We have the words of prophets and Jesus' teaching and his example. When we pray the prayer, it should be, in a way, our recommitment to learn about the will of God and to be obedient. And for us to have integrity in that, I remember a certain preacher who was on a picket line when it was a decision of the courts that the Ten Commandments could not be placed in a certain place in Alabama. The reporter asked, I think not with malice, what are the Ten Commandments? And the man drew a blank. We all might in the glare of the camera, but if we stand for something, we need to know more about what we stand for. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, hallowing takes a little explaining. That's why children sometimes say, what is God's name? Howard. As in Howard be the, and later on they say, deliver us from email. In our service, as in this prayer, we honor God first, and then we have a time of confession. We, a prayer in the Catholic Church, an appointment with the priest. It is a time of reconciliation, but it also ought to be a time of recollection for us, of thinking about the will of God and how our lives reflect that understanding. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread, of course, the staff of life. And in Jesus' day, as well as in our own, people dependent sometimes, day to day to day, upon meager rations. The request for daily bread reminds us of manna in the wilderness, and of the fact that when they were in the wilderness, when they were living day to day, they gathered manna in an omer with the instructions not to overfill it, because any more than their share would go bad, would rot and stink. In a day when there is worldwide plenty of food for everybody, we ought always to be mindful of its distribution. When we pray for our daily bread, we ought to have our brothers and sisters in mind, as well as our own needs. Forgive us our debts and or trespasses. Bob Hubbs and Hilliard Jolly had some trouble shifting from the Methodist Church to the Presbyterian. And some of our recent joinees will wonder about that. On the back, there is some heavy research about the use of debts and trespasses. You see there in the first translation, it was debtors, then it became trespasses, still trespasses, and again, debtors by the King James Bible. It is a theory in the Presbyterian Church that Scots wanted to be given their debt, forgiven their debts rather than their trespasses. Being people of financial awareness. But there is something about trespasses that is important. Debts are established and acknowledged. Sometimes we trespass on people without realizing it. We step on someone's toes. We hurt their feelings. It's important for us to ask forgiveness on both counts, and to give forgiveness as well. Then the line, lead us not into temptation, which some have softened over the years with the word testing. None of us likes the idea that God would lead us into temptation. And recently, just in the last few weeks, the Pope has changed for the Catholic Church that line in the prayer to read, do not let us fall into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I like deliver us from evil because it differs from the other translation, deliver us from the evil one. It is easier for me to think of evil in society. Illiteracy, addiction, abuse, loneliness, homelessness, hunger. And it makes me proud when I think of all our church does, helping abused children, visiting senior housing, with reading and feeding and Habitat, hosting AA groups and contributing to Dock Up. What disturbs me is what in society today is what the Bible describes as party spirit. I used to think that meant there could be no more pointy hats at birthday parties and none of those noisemakers that go out and in. But it means when we are divided so strongly, and in our nation's case so politically, that we as Christians, owing our first allegiance to God, ought to be mindful of the way we behave and what we say. I saw a quote recently which said roughly this: I don't know if the forum in the local paper has ever caused the lame to walk, but it has surely caused the dumb to speak. We need to be mindful of those things we pass along, whether verbally as gossip or on Facebook. We need to seek in our daily activities to do God's will. And finally, the prayer closes with this ascription: for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Scholars tell us that that was added later because so many prayers in the Old Testament ended with talk of God's power and glory, and that the word kingdom didn't appear in the prayer until the 9th century. So, a level evolution of people taking scripture from multiple places and tying it together in a way that expresses so much. I went to Clifton Presbyterian Church, an inner city church, one time to hear a friend of mine preach, only to discover that, as you have today, the regular preacher was not there. There was a nice man from Africa who was there, and when I saw that his sermon was about the Lord's Prayer, I kind of sighed. Preachers hear a lot about the Lord's Prayer. This man began to speak. It was a communion Sunday, and as he spoke about the Lord's Prayer, he took a few steps and then a few more, and now we're wondering where he's going to go. And he walked around to the front of the chancel, and still speaking through his microphone, he got under the communion table and continued to pray. And then he said, I learned the Lord's Prayer hiding under my mother's bed while there was gunfire in the street. Sometimes in times of danger or stress, the Lord's Prayer is what we come up with, and it is enough. Sometimes in solitude, when our minds wander, the Lord's Prayer is good to contemplate. What does it mean to me and for my life? And then there are times when, in surrender and in trust, that is all that we can, all that we need to say. My sister Rosemary suffered with a brain tumor for 11 months before she died. She was mentally very active until the very end, but speech came slower and slower, and then not at all. Eyes closed, she in her bed surrounded by caregivers and her family. And then, at someone's prompting, I began to say the Lord's Prayer. We now around the bed holding hands, and suddenly she begins to speak, eyes still closed, but imprinted in her mind those words, Our Father. It is so familiar to us that after a time it can become too familiar. A man goes to confession in the Catholic Church, and after confession, the priest is to give him penance. He assigns him several Hail Marys and one, only one, Our Father. The man questions, is that all? One Our Father. To which the priest replied, if you do more than recite it, if you reflect upon it, you will find that it's often all we need to say. And so it is. Amen. Thank you. In God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for all your blessings to us, for your fatherly care and your compassion. With that in mind, we lift these to you. We remember those who have lost loved ones, Fran and Scott, Crawford McDonald and Roger Idson. And we pray, Lord, that you will remember them. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who battle cancer. Robert's sister, Mike and Priscilla's friend, Christian Chadwick, who lost a kidney, Chris Townley and Susan Reagan. For those fighting cancer and those who do research, God, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. For expectant mothers like Katie Scott and all those who parent young children, for all the challenges they face and all the expectations of parents in our day, we pray, O Lord, your help. Lord, in your mercy. For Kelly Allgood and Greg George, Carl Rollins, for Laura Goins, for Sandover, and all those whom we name in silence now, we pray. and for churches like the one in Cahuta and sister churches all over Dalton, for Pat Rivers' sister Martha and Dick Lowry, for Johnny Bockham and all those who are aging, for Natalie Ragor, the child of this covenant preparing for ministry, for Joel Alvis, the new stated clerk of our presbytery, for all aging parents and for all caregivers, Lord, we pray your strength, Lord, in your mercy. And now we pray the prayer which Jesus taught those disciples long ago and which is preserved to us, joining our voices as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship as we present our tithes and offerings. We ask, O Lord, that you take these gifts and our very lives to accomplish your will in the world. Always guide us in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The closing hymn was a favorite of my Aunt Elizabeth. She was an imposing woman. She taught me about bike riding and river rafting, manners at the table, and buttermilk. But then she grew old and spent a number of years in a retirement facility apart from us. And so when the call came for her nephew to do the funeral, it was to be a graveside. But instead of a sweet hymn to be sung there, no, it was this hymn which can serve as our charge today. I say to you, as she said to me long ago, come, Christians, join to sing. Go now with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you love and peace now and forever. Amen.